This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America Tonight. Coming up, I'm going to introduce you to an awesome author, Nick Prudkup. And I'll tell you what, he's a guy who grew up in Hawaii, and he's got a book out called Healthy Aging and Your Journey to Becoming Healthy, Happy, and Fit. I don't think that I've ever spoken to somebody who sounded so young, so excited, so vibrant about life. Truly, you want to hear what he has to say because he's got some... I think he's got a great message that he shares with me, and it is a really heartfelt message that in this time of crazy insanity, the chaos that is our world, is so needed to kind of just ground yourself, you know? Like in Philly, you got this nutball who tries to mow a guy over. He flies over the top of his car. Luckily, he doesn't die. He's treated at a hospital. But an off-duty cop shoots to death the guy in the black Honda, and of course he does. He warned him he could have gunned down other people. They don't know if it's terrorism or not. Then you have the other nut job in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who we're not really sure what's going on with him. Is he just erratic to be erratic and throw out these missiles once in a while and angry rhetoric? Or is it something more sinister in wanting to take over more of a corner of the world? I personally think he's just off balance and just completely whacked because it doesn't make any sense with some of the testing. Certainly does not to me. And then you have this pressure for somebody in the FBI ranks to resign because... of the fact that, oh, the reason Andrew McCabe stepped down is, by the way, his wife, who was getting money from the Clintons when she was running in Virginia for an office, while her husband then ended up investigating Hillary Clinton in the email process, part of that just doesn't look right. And then there's the Russian investigation that continues to cost millions and millions of dollars and just gets twisted up into a wild web. So Kay Delaney, America Tonight. The biggest thing going out of D.C. is, of course, the show, and it's the State of the Union address. That's coming up on Tuesday. I think it's going to take a positive tone because there's things that this president can celebrate, like what's happened with corporate taxes and corporations giving money back to people because of their reduction of corporate taxes. And I think there'll be other celebrations, too, some high points, and then conversation perhaps about immigration. That would make complete sense to me, but I don't think it's going to be a whip all the way around. But what's really crazy is this: the Republican Majority House Intelligence Committee voted Monday to release a memo allegedly accusing the Department of Justice and the FBI of misusing their power, their authority, if you will, to get a secret surveillance order on an ex-Trump campaign aide. So Congressman Adam Schiff, who announced the action at a news briefing, complained the Republican members voted against also releasing a minority memo that rebuts the information in a memo written by the panel chairman. So here's the crux of this. Why do you care about this memo that's flying around and has all kinds of rumors attached to it? Well, this is just a curiosity. Under this House rule that was invoked by the committee, President Trump has 5 days to review the document and decide whether to block it or not from going public. The White House has said, we want the memo out. The Justice Department, though, is working to block its release or or slow it down. Republicans accuse the agencies of not disclosing that the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign helped finance research that was used to obtain a warrant for surveillance of Carter Page, who was a Trump campaign advisor. The research presented to the judge was assembled by a former British spy or intelligence officer, I suppose, Christopher Steele. And there's a whole bunch of other thorny kind of things in it. But the White House is saying, put it out. That's what they were saying, put it out. So it's crazy. So you have Schiff, a Democrat, saying it's a very sad day, I think, in the history of this committee. And he said Monday this committee voted to put the president's personal interest, perhaps their own political interest, above the public interest in denying the ability to hear from the department and the FBI. And it's regrettable. So then that makes us more curious about the memo, I think. That's what I think happens. So where this ends up is going to be on the front pages of your favorite newspaper or .com newspaper, right? Because pretty much everybody's reading online now. A few still grab up the old paper. But it's certainly going to break out. And in 5 days, I don't know, maybe 5 days, after the State of the Union, though, it'll absolutely be after the State of the Union. And this is the other crazy discussion happening kind of in the coffee houses around the Hill. And whenever you say, here's the thing, whenever you say nationalize, what do you think of? If I say it's going to be nationalized. So the White House was trying to clarify sort of what was very foggy, and that is that they're just in early stages of a conversation on a nationalized ultra-fast 5G wireless network. That was because a National Security Council memo floated the proposal as a way to combat Chinese spying on U.S. phone calls. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's got to answer the question, right, when she faces the media. And she said, right now, we're just in the early stages. She said exactly what I just said, that there are no decisions made on what it would look like, what role anyone would play in it, simply the need for a secure network. And that this had just been floated by a staff member, was not any kind of major policy announcement, and might not ever be. So remember, the Federal Communications Commission is the government's steward, if you will, of wireless airwaves at this point that power 5G and other uses for smartphones, tablets, mobile devices, blah, 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 blah. And so, of course, there are definitely people who would be opposed to nationalizing 5G. I mean, right? That there are definitely people that are opposed to that. I read a quote in the Washington Post from, and it was a unnamed U.S. telecom regulator who said, people are flabbergasted. They are flabbergasted. No, it's not happening. It's not happening is what I would say at this point anyway. Although floating it definitely caused a lot of people to start the conversation, didn't it? Coming up next is about the numbers we can count here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
All right, coming up, we're going to do that thing where we rock the numbers. Because if you look around, everything is about numbers, right? Half of the stories we talk about, half of storytelling, when you talk about what's happened in your life, somewhere in there, it has to do with numbers. So on that note, let's go to this version of We Can Count. And looking across the horizon, I'll tell you this. How about this? This was a crazy one that I found today. So think about this. 7 million gallons a day from Lake Michigan. What do you think I'm talking about? I'm talking about water. Foxconn is trying to build a massive manufacturing plant, I guess, in Mount Pleasant, and it prompted this look for state permission to tap that much a day to meet the demands of what the company is anticipating, right? So the city of Racine asked the Department of Natural Resources for permission to divert water from the lake, which is what you have to do. So it's interesting because the request by Racine was made on behalf of Mount Pleasant to extend the water service to a 2.3 square mile area of the village in the Mississippi River Basin and would include this Foxconn campus. Does it sound all confusing? Here's what I want to know. How much are they draining? How much water are they draining? They say they're going to build a $10 billion plant to construct liquid crystal display panels that could employ 13,000 people, which that's pretty big. So Wisconsin was able to attract the company by coming up with a $3 billion state incentive package, which was pushed by Scott Walker and some of the people in the legislature. But a lot of Democrats weren't thrilled about it because of some of the environmental regulations, I suppose. Monday's application of an average of up to 7 million gallons a day is significant, certainly, because what does it increase? Water use. And Racine pumped just under 17 million gallons a day And in the past, they've pumped more water, but industrial and residential demand has dropped over the past couple of decades. So it's interesting because you got to crunch the math when you do something like that and figure out this lost water. It's consumptive use is what they call it. And what happens? What would trigger other Great Lakes? So then you have to treat the wastewater and all of that and what the volume is. And water is big business in many, many respects. Let's put it that way. Even the cola companies know it. But it's a question of what are you taking out, what are you putting in, and what are you using it for, and how many eyeballs are on it, and what do they think it's being used for. So it's always dicey how it goes through. Not dicey here. You got to be rolling some big dice if you're going to have a shot at this. And what I'm talking about is this story that I saw about Suzanne Summers' Palm Springs house. It's going on auction. So they're going to, Suzanne Summers and her husband, Alan Hamill, are auctioning off this, their home on Wednesday. And this is the thing. The home originally listed, ready for this, listed at $27.5 million. That was about 8 years ago. But check this out. That was 8 years ago. It's now on the market for $14.5 million. And, it's being auctioned without reserve, which means there's no minimum price, and it sells to the highest bidder. Wow. That could be interesting, right? That could be really interesting, I think. Highest bidder. And I was looking at the house. I mean, wow. 8 bedrooms. Here's your numbers. 8 bedrooms, 9 full baths, 2 half baths, an outdoor amphitheater, a pool with a spa, swimming holes beneath waterfalls, indoor formal dining room that seats 32, 5,000 bottle wine cellar, master suite with an outdoor shower, his and her closets, and also a safe room, outdoor living room, dining room, veranda, fireplaces, fire pits. My gosh, what else do you need? It's like a nest. You never have to leave there. Just deliver the food. We can do everything there. We can work out. We can get drunk. We can listen to music. We can light a fire. We can go to the spa. It's crazy. I guess the living room is one of the oldest structures in the city of Palm Springs. It was built about 100 years ago. You know, and I'm saying all this, and because I just was in Palm Springs not too long ago, last year, at the tail end of last year, I mean, it really is just beautiful, this estate. And it's interesting what a difference 8 years will make, from 27.5 to 14, and it could get less than that. How about that for getting your money's worth? Somebody's probably going to get their money's worth. That's what I'm thinking. $3.5 million. Elon Musk's Boring Company sold $3.5 million worth of flamethrowers, they say. So what's happened is, after selling hats, I'm not kidding you, the billionaire Musk decided, oh, we're going to do flamethrowers. So they announced that his infrastructure firm started to sell these flamethrowers on Sunday. People were able to pre-order them for $500 each and could buy an overpriced fire extinguisher with a cool sticker as well. So, isn't it interesting? He's the CEO of a major car manufacturing firm, Tesla. He's an aerospace firm god, really, SpaceX, in that space, I'm saying. And the Boring Company sold 7,000 flamethrowers. So that means they've sold at least $3.5 million in this new product. He's like with the new Jeff Bezos. I don't know. And seeing him with the flamethrower was hilarious. So I'm thinking, flamethrower. What are we doing with the flamethrower? Pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's bounce to another segment that deals with numbers a lot. And the numbers in flying, let's put it that way. So it's interesting. I looked at this January, they call it the January route roundup or route roundup, where airlines are cutting or adding service. So let me give you a couple of quick ones. Starting on April 4th, Americans are going to convert their 15-weekday LaGuardia O'Hare round trips into shuttle brands instead. So shuttles, that means it's 160 seats on these Boeing 737-800 jets. And that's popular with business people on the East Coast, so they're going to try it from there, from LaGuardia to Chicago. That means same-day trips in return for a lot of people. Ugh, that's rough on your body, isn't it? Especially with the way travel is now, and you, who knows what's gonna, if you're going to get there, what's going to happen, whatever. Delta expanded, so they've got three new routes, including Seattle to Indianapolis, Kansas City, and Washington Dulles. And so they're going to compete head-to-head with Alaska Airlines out of that region. That's pretty interesting. And this is interesting. Kenya Airways has its first route to the United States. Nonstop flights between Nairobi and New York's JFK starting on October 28th. And they're going to be flown from the Dreamliners. That's where you would get a Dreamliner 787, in which there are 30 in lie-in flat business class seats and 204 in coach. So you think about how long that is. Flight time, 15 hours, 14 and a half on the way back, 7,360 miles. That is a long time, my friends, on a plane. It is a very long time, isn't it? But that's great that it's just door to door. And then, since I was just in Charleston, Allegiant's first flights from Charleston, South Carolina, start April 4th, and they've got service from Sarasota, because there's people listening to us in Sarasota. That'd be a great trip. There's so much history. Either way, there's so much history in Charleston, and in Sarasota there's so much to do. So, I mean, you know, the back and forth on that, just even to be curious and go check out the beaches and the history in either one of those places would be pretty, I think, pretty interesting. So this is what happens. Flights expand, routes change, because they look at the economics of it, of course, like any other business, and try to figure out what's the best bang for their buck and where, what are they trying to do, where are they trying to move people from, and what would pay off the most, which makes complete sense to me. I'm going to introduce you to my pal Nick Krutkup next here on America Tonight, so stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome to the show, Don Bill, who's written a book called Power's Trace. And, you know, what's interesting about that is it definitely hits on themes I like, because, you know, I've talked about this on America Tonight, but a crime, small town police, I just think, really, what's that like? What's that about? And we're talking about a book that takes place in a novel that takes place in Georgia. Is very, very intriguing. And it also includes two prisoners who escaped while they were being transported back to the Louisiana prison farm, and they ended up in Power's Trace. So, Don, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about, first of all, what led you down the road wanting to do this novel?
I guess the basic part would be that I had the time to do it. I had already retired from the accounting work and the Air Force and all that. So I was kind of wandering around playing golf every day. I had this idea in the back of my head for quite a while, and I finally just sat down and started at it, and that's what came up.
Well, you know, they say when you write a novel, it's based on some things from your life, things you kind of embellish a little bit, things that you've learned along the way. So I imagine a lot of that is peppered into it. This is kind of interesting for people listening, the whole writing process. As you said, you were playing golf, which, by the way, I'm a kindred spirit there. I love to play golf. But you're right. After a while, you would want to do something else, and this was rattling around in your brain. So when you decide you're going to sit down, you're going to write this novel, from the time you started having all these ideas and you put it down on paper, on the computer, et cetera, how long did it take you?
To get started, probably about 2 years. kind of, I had to step on a place to put my wife, get her out of the way. So finally did a little, I built a little room, little office desk thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started going. I read someplace, they call it a stream of consciousness. I think that's what I was doing. Just had an idea and I took it from there and put a story together just in order. And it was a lot of fun, really.
So as you did that and you started to put it stream of consciousness, were you sometimes people when they write, Don, are really rigid and like you said, you had to get a spot for your wife. I understand that because you needed some peace. You needed to be able to take a breath and do what you were going to do. But did you have a certain time? Was it like, oh, I got to get up in the morning. I get my coffee. I start to write and then I stop after a while. Or no, it just was when the mood hit you.
Oh, no, there wasn't anything like that. But it was, I did get a routine going. We did whatever we had to do during the day. And then about 11 o'clock at night, I'd watch the news, go back in my little room and start at it. And I could spend 3 hours and I could spend the whole night back there, depending on how interested I was at the time. But I loved it. Dealing with these people was a joy for me.
Yeah, it's so neat because, as I said, Powers Trace is a fictional small town in Georgia, small town. So tell us about the novel. Give us some tidbits on this little town and the police and what it was like for them. Long hours, small pay, right?
Oh, that's true. And I've been around the places that are here in Georgia, small town, and I talked to some of the guys. And they seem to like the job enough that they will do it without the big paycheck. And that really turned me on for that. So we went with that. But basically the book, I think you mentioned it a while ago, that the bad guys broke out from a trip from Middle Mississippi back down to the prison farm, and they ended up stealing cars on the way. And they wound up in our church, and it all began from there. In the meantime, I tried to put in all the little trinkets that you get from small towns. If you ever been in the Grand March, that was the highlight of their year. That's one where everybody lines up, and they come down to the Grand Marshal and turn around and go back up, wind up with 64 people abreast charging a stage. That's their highlight. So if you can visualize it.
I can, and of course you and I both know in a small town, the police, everybody knows each other. It's kind of like Mayberry in a way. And I guess when you were writing it, as you said, you talked to some of the police in the area where you are, and did you get a sense of community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all know each other, all love their work. You get them talking, and you can't shut them up. I've been there for
I love
but
that.
But I loved it. I love putting these guys together, and they all like each other, and that's the reason 5-man police force can get the job done.
Yeah, so for you, when you were putting it together, and, you know, there's that arc in storytelling, so you have the excitement, the breakout, the panic, all of that, and then trying to catch the bad guy. So a lot of that is about trying to catch the bad guy. Did they have a hard time getting to the prisoners?
Well, it kind of fell into place. They had the GBI on them, the Georgia Bureau, and things like that. But there was no big push after these guys until they killed one of the deputies.
So that's sad drama when somebody in law enforcement is killed and one of your own goes down. Certainly people listening to this understand that. Then that becomes even more magnified whether you're in a small town or a big town.
That's true.
Yeah. What was the reaction to the book? Because I can imagine now people know you've written this book and they've heard about it. And what do they say?
Well, the people that heard about it were the people I know real well here in town, and I passed the book around. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't have anybody pushing the book on the national level or anything like that.
Right.
But everybody that read it liked it, so I was satisfied.
And then, of course, the question becomes, once you start to talk about this small town and people fall in love with it, are you going to write another one?
Well, I wrote three.
So three, and will you continue in that series?
Well, I haven't really tried that yet, but it started out as just one book. I was going to see if I could write a novel. And when I started putting all this stuff together, it wound up as an 800-page book. So I knew that wasn't going to work. So I just split it in three parts. I put the first book is more or less an introduction. It's only 170 pages. You can sit down and read it in about 3 days. Explains the town, explains the characters and all that stuff. And then puts them into this bad guy situation where they're chasing him around town. But then it goes from there to the second book is battling with the influx of drugs coming from the West Coast and then just getting down into the small town stuff. And they didn't know how to handle that, but they worked at it, got it done. And the third book took on the corruption in the county government, those things. But anyway, that's what it was, and I had to split it up, so that's the way I put it in three books.
I like that. So, see, you were really excited about it. You had this tale to tell, and you had a tomb, so you're right. You had to break it down into three different books. Now, so you learned a lot about the editing process. Obviously, you're loquacious, or you're that kind of writer, Don, that you were excited. You wanted to put in details. You wanted to talk more about the town. Is it tough to go through and cut things out and figure that out?
Oh, yes. That's why I've got to be 800 pages. I couldn't cut it out. I like these guys, so I let them work.
Do you have a favorite character?
Sure, the chief.
The chief?
Yeah, chief of police. Let me explain him a little bit. He's kind of cute. He's from North Florida. And out of high school, he enlisted in the Army, and they put him into the police, military police business in New York. And he couldn't stand the cold weather. So he kept fighting, and he finally got a transfer over to Europe into the CIS bit. And in the meantime, his mother passed away, of course. You ought to have one of those in there. And he came back and got a job with Atlanta. And he worked his way up through the police force in Atlanta over about 10 years. Married a girl that was working for the mayor. And he was on the job. Everybody else had gone home one night. And he got a phone call that there was this turbines down in the north part of town. So he went down the elevator to get in his car, and there was a guy down there stealing the car. And he turned around with a gun in his hand. And before old Lou could pull his, he got shot twice. Couldn't be a policeman anymore in Atlanta. So he and his wife, Bev, went south, got a little place on the side, on the edge of a lake, and were really relaxing. So I know that feeling. So he had got a call from the banker and the chairman of this little town, Power Trace, and he went over and had a meeting with him, and they talked him into being the police chief because of all his college experience. And that's the way it began.
Wow. Fascinating story. Don, stay with us because we would love to have you come back on. So I just want to first have you agree to that. Will you come on and do another interview with us?
Sure.
Awesome. All right. So, Don, Bill, we're diving deeper into this cool little town, Powers Trace. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Cause no one's left and no one's watching. Another animal, just practical, while the sun's still on your skin. I went to my doctor, had my...
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
I'll tell you what, so many of you that listen to the show have called me with your frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many, many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing, and he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Hey, Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was having, and you can't make a career out of that. The kind of blue collar skilled jobs where you could achieve a middle class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile, they're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies, and this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
Yeah, I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that, if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about the Republican side. It really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. And what we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. We're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I think, you know, part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates. I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is you know that, too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America, and of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, well, I'm going to make it in America. And they've done it quite successfully, from, amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to, flip-flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean, you cover these too, and we do on our blog. I mean, there's almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones. And that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies, and it gets back to what we first started talking about. The incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, first of all, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do, and also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, look, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And, you know, we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleships, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure, all of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right, I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.